Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow, every now and then, the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome you to Hope is Alive, coming to you this Wednesday night, this first Wednesday of January, and we say good evening. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, I am abundantly blessed, walking in the Holy Spirit, better than I deserve. I am doing quite well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Good. A little cold out here, but it's good.
Oh, did it get down in the 60s?
The upper 50s.
Yeah. And good evening, Mr. Cox. Pastor Cox, I think you're on as well.
Yes, good evening. Great to be with you all tonight.
Amen. Amen. And I'm pleased to report, I talked to Mr. Cox with your assistant Richard today, ordered another case of books because the people are ordering the book, The Supernatural Works of Jesus. And so it's a very good read. It's an excellent tool, I think. And I think it's helped many people, and we've had some good reviews of it, but I just wanted to share that with you and the audience. We do have that available, or at least we will about Friday, I think. but we do have that book, and I would encourage your remnant, if you feel led to order the book. It's full of scriptures and directions on the biblical topic of deliverance. With that, I'll turn it over to you guys.
I was just going to say that is more than just a book. It really is a book manual of the steps that we've learned, and I've learned over these 37, and actually, would you believe 38 years now? We're being in the new year, we're actually into our 38th year, or my 38th, the ministry I formed in 1984, so 32 years with the Deliverance Ministries, Inc. in Oklahoma City. But those steps are field-tested. Through the years, we've done this type of ministry many different ways, Deliverance, that is, many different ways. But we've settled out on this model that we use today and have for quite a few years now, and it's pretty easy to learn and to teach, and those steps really work well. If a person will follow those steps, you can minister to literally thousands of people and do quite well in getting them set free and even healed, because physical healing so often goes right along with deliverance itself. The spirits of infirmity are actually quite common, just as Jesus cast one out in Luke 13, and he commanded us to do his same works in his name. So when we come against spirits of infirmity, many times people are physically healed. Exciting thing to find out.
So if you use that book, and you use discernment, and if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you're victorious.
Well, amen. And, you know, a lot of people don't have any special gifts. I don't really have any special gifts, but that's why I've learned these steps to do, and that's why there's so many people just like me that don't have a special gift. They can learn to do these steps, and sure enough, they'll work. So, as Jesus commanded all believers, you know, this is normal Christianity we're talking about here. If you've not been doing this works of Jesus, you've been practicing subnormal Christianity, and what we find is, this is a good deal. This is even better. A lot of people have cut themselves short in the gospel and not enjoyed all the fullness of it, and so that we really can live life abundant.
We had a lady 2 or 3 weeks back that had walked in bondage, had been in institutions for, what was it, nearly 60 years? And in just a couple of prayer sessions and deliverance sessions, she was set free, and she was on fire. She was speaking about how wonderful it was, and I think no one could hardly get a word in edgewise.
I remember that lady from Texas, Austin, I think it was, and yeah, she was pumped and excited and energized. You're very right.
Well, it makes you wonder about, you know, when Jesus healed someone in the Bible, he would say, go tell no one. Man, how hard would that be? You've been blind since birth, and Jesus says, go tell no one?
Well, yeah. Well, today we find we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we're telling it. I did a radio show here in Oklahoma City for 22 years, 5 days a week. They were pre-taped. I did a lot of them on a phone patch on the phone, but those were testimonies. That was a testimony show, an interview, and I just simply asked them the questions: when were they born again? When did they receive their deliverance? What it was like? Why they came in the first place? What was going on in their lives? And after, and what it was like when these spirits were cast out? And then, how is your life now, X number of months later, sometimes years later, that I would run into people and they tell me how well they've done, or I'd say, well, how about me doing an interview with you? So that's kind of the proof of the pudding, as I see it. You know, you can argue with theologies here and there, but it's really hard to argue with the testimony.
Well, and if people want to find out some immediate information before you get the book, you've got an excellent website, deliveranceusa.org. What I really love on here is the self-ministry tools. And, you know, they walk you through pretty much everything in the book. You have video of you actually doing deliverance, and people can watch that. And I've had people get great benefit just from watching it on their computer, because it's the power of the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if the people believe it and operate in faith, they can be delivered sitting in their own home.
It is amazing, Chris. And we've had reports even from other countries, you know, the website being worldwide. And they've sat there and gone through those steps. They do have to engage. They can't just watch it. They've got to engage and speak out as lead, but they've gotten amazing levels of relief just sitting there on the website. And when people can't come to Oklahoma City, we always recommend they go ahead and try to see how they can do on the video. It's about 4 hours of teaching and actual ministry, and often people get their relief just from that.
Now, when we first started this program, there was people calling in and, you know, kind of condemning you and saying that you didn't teach about baptism. And I was just looking under here, under our beliefs. Did you just recently sneak in that water baptism part on the bottom just to satisfy them?
Well, of course, we've always believed in water baptism. I've actually had two water, full immersion water baptisms myself, and it's all part of the gospel.
It is, and you know, if you want to look on the website, it's under our beliefs, and I know that it's been there since I've met you, so I was just joking about you sticking it in there to calm the critics, but it was just anybody that could have looked at the website and seen that you know, talk about water baptism and the importance of communion and eternity and salvation, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the Son, which is Jesus Christ, the Father, and God, and you know, it's all laid out right there. It's the gospel. It's the good news.
You know, Chris, that's something else that's in the book is taking the value of taking Holy Communion even in your own house. You know, for years we've kind of thought our pastor needed to do it. But it was some years ago I was listening to Sid Roth, quite a few years ago, and he was interviewing a man, a doctor from Florida, Dr. Miller, that had studied taking communion for 25 years. And as he had studied it and learned more and more about it and the power that's in that, people would get healed, physically healed, even delivered by taking communion. And so I have a chapter on that in the book, on the value of that and what it can mean in our lives. I try to take communion at least every few days. My goal would be to take it every day, but it just doesn't work out with the rush of everything. But there is a great power in taking communion where you really understand what you're doing with it by taking of the bread or the body of Christ and then drinking of his blood. There's
Did not our Lord say that we're prophets, priests, and kings? So if you are a priest, Amen. You have the power to administer that.
Absolutely.
That's one of the blessings of our Lord.
Yes.
Well, while we're waiting on our caller to call in, you and I had talked earlier about some things. You know, the spirits that do attack people, they're tormenting, and they're very tricky, very conniving, very deceitful, and
they've had a lot of practice.
They've had centuries, thousands of years of practice. And one of the ways that I've seen them operate is through relatives, loved ones, friends. And on your website, you have a thing called praying at a distance.
Yes.
And it's, you know, a lot of times people don't want us praying for them. They don't want us close to them. They don't want to go through a deliverance session. But this is kind of God's way of getting back at them, because we can pray at them at a distance and we still have authority. Could you discuss that for just a little bit?
Sure. And what it gets down to is the missions of the demonic side is to block a Christian's life. You try to block people from becoming a Christian in the first place, but once you are a Christian, you are a special target then, because we are likely to share Jesus and to move forward using our God-given gifts and move into our destiny and our ministries. So, probably the most common of the calls that we have come in is about somebody that they would like to see delivered. But those people are not wanting to come, and of course, their demons are naturally blocking them in every way they can from coming. So I put together a prayer, it's a chapter in my book, on praying for someone at distance. And the whole idea is to is to shut the spirits down that are there. I would say this, the very first thing that in that chapter in the checklist is to take authority over the spirits that are there by satanic assignment at distance. One thing about demons on assignment, we don't have to close any doors like we do where people, there's 15 doors we recognize it, that Christians can open for demons to come in to torment. We need to get the doors closed in that case, but we also run in about half of the three dozen demons that are usually there bothering a Christian. About half of them are there by a satanic assignment to block their lives. Well, the good news is, Luke 10:19, we have all power over the enemy if we use it. And so with all power, we can break those assignments, even at distance in someone, break them off. That takes the legal right out that they would have, and then command those spirits to go. A lot of people can get relief just by that alone.
Well, Pastor, we have our caller on the line. Michael, are you there?
Good evening.
There we go. Hey, sorry about that.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
I'll let Pastor Cox introduce you.
Okay. Yeah, hi, Michael. Glad you got that in here. Are you hearing this okay?
Yes, I am.
Are you hearing this okay?
Yes, I am.
I guess you... Okay, good. Well, yeah, welcome. And I'm here with Chris and Richard.
Hi, Chris.
And we're talking about this subject of casting out of evil spirits and physical healing and all. And I've been inviting people to come on most every week to kind of express what they've seen and learned about it. And that's why I called you this morning to see if you might come on and talk about how you got introduced to this works of Jesus and how it applies to us today, and then what you've seen in your life take place and so on. So would you like to share on that?
Yes. Well, I first got introduced to Deliverance Ministry, I believe, in the year 2010. I was a Christian probably up until the eighth grade, and I just fell off into the world. Not sure if I was born again at that point, but I fell off into the world and got into all kinds of sin and just terrible things that I never even would have thought that I opened the door to at that time. And then once I got out of college in 2009, just kind of hit a rock bottom place during that time. And I think my parents had come to Deliverance Ministry, and I just knew I needed help at that point. And I went in and I received prayer, and so many changes came about in my life. I just felt like a totally different person at that point. I know there was all kinds of evil spirits just tormenting my life, and that night...
Are you comfortable in sharing some of the spirits that seem to be bothering
you?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I was addicted to cigarettes. I drank a lot of alcohol. I was into marijuana. I was into pornography. That was probably the strongest bondage. Just all the guilt and the condemnation that goes along with it, and the heaviness and the hopelessness and the fears and the worries and the stress. Well, I could probably go on and on describing just the terrible state that I was in because I had turned away from God and went off into the world. But we do serve a merciful God, and I'm thankful for that. He gave me another chance, and through deliverance ministry, I can now say that I'm free from all those things, and I'm able to walk in victory, in the victory that Jesus provided for us on Calvary.
Michael, when you were ministered to, could you feel these spirits coming out?
I don't recall having any physical manifestations of the demons coming out or anything. I don't recall that much. I just know that on my drive, I had about an hour and a half drive home that night, and I remember thinking to myself that I felt like a different person. I felt empty, kind of, in a good way, I guess you would say. I lost a lot of friends right that night.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Good thing, no doubt. Well, Michael, I might just mention to the listeners, while many people do feel spirits coming, moving in their body, actually, some people yawn, cough, and burp them out. There's a certain number of people that come, that, and we've done the whole evening ministry, and they never felt a thing. And at first, when I ever ran into like that, I thought nothing was happening. And yet, as we went through the steps that we've learned to do, the reports would come back weeks later or so that we scored, and the things we addressed were gone. So
we've had to
realize.
That's easy for me to believe, though, because that happened to me.
Yeah. Well, it's not by feeling, as we learn. It's by the Word, as a Christian speaks it. The Word performs itself. And some people are not as sensitive to the spirit world as others, and they just don't feel anything. The lady I worked with Monday night, she had burps and coughs and could feel them in her body coming out. That's probably the majority of them. Now, I think what's pretty exciting is, as you got free, why don't you go ahead and share how you got an interest in, as you got free, and actually helping others get free.
Okay, well, it was just a turning point in my life. I had, there's times when people can look back on their lives and say this was a turning point. Well, this was the big turning point for me, because I was introduced to the common ministry that Jesus performed all throughout the Gospels, and the power that Jesus has over these unclean spirits that torment people's lives. So just seeing the fruit of that in my own life, I know that it would be a tremendous blessing for me to be involved in cooperate with the Lord Jesus in helping other peoples receive freedom. So I have been helping, I think, since maybe 2013, maybe the end of 2013, and it's just, there's nothing quite like it for myself. Just helping people in their deepest needs, and knowing that with the Word we can cast out demons, and people can receive that freedom that God has purchased for them.
And it is a freedom. It's walking in a liberty that you can't describe until you experience it, because you have been in bondage and torment for in issues, and many people, like we were discussing earlier, for some of them 50-60 years.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, what's sad is so many Christians live their whole lives, finally go to be with the Lord, but they never really did enjoy life abundant that Jesus said he had brought us in John 10:10. because these spirits have been blocking their lives all those years. So that's our mission, is to get the good news of this works of Jesus out and the practicality of it and how people can turn their lives around. Can you remember any special cases that have been exciting to you, that you, people you've ministered to, Michael?
I guess a specific case that sticks out in my mind are just the ones that after we are done with ministry, I see them coming back and helping out. I think a couple of people have that I've ministered have come back, and it's good to see that God really touched them in a way that they're able to reach out and to help others. But also this young girl, I think she was about fourth or fifth grader, somewhere around there, and I was just floored by some of the terrible things that have happened to her in her life, and I thought that I had a tough life until I heard some of the things that this girl had been through, and it's just, I can't minister to some of the needs that people have because I haven't been there, but God knows everybody's heart, and just to be there, to be available to speak to this young lady and to give her joy and to give her peace and to cast out these demons that have been tormenting her, it's just, there's nothing quite like it.
Yes, that's kind of the situation with all the teams. We're all on big highs when we go home on Monday night.
Well, what greater reward than doing the work of the Lord?
Amen. Michael,
yeah, amen.
When you went through our training, when you went through the training, our school, do you remember how many months it took you to get ready to where you were comfortable in ministry?
I don't remember exactly how many months it took. I think it was probably at least maybe 10 sessions. That would be my guess. I can't really remember. I just know whenever you needed somebody, I was reluctant, but I was like, okay, I'll just trust in God here.
I remember that night, Michael.
It was something
we
else.
We had a big crowd, and we were kind of shy of ministers, and I remember coming up to you and saying, well, Michael, how about it tonight?
Yeah.
And so we pressed you into service.
Yeah, well.
And you did well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that's, you gotta lean on the Holy Spirit and let God speak.
Yes. Well, you followed those steps that on the checklist of ministry, and it probably went pretty much easier than you thought.
Yeah. When you're in the midst of battle, it's good to know that God's never going to leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Amen.
Because
that's comforting
this
for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Michael, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to say to the naysayers out there, or people that may be skeptical, or people that are leery about seeking deliverance?
I would say it just takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and without faith, we can't receive that anything that God has given us. You have to look at Scripture and see that all throughout the Gospels that Jesus, a main part of his ministry was casting out demons and healing sick, and you know, doing other miracles. But if you're skeptical and you can't believe, then God can help you with that as well.
Well, thank you for calling in.
There's even a spirit named skepticism that's on our list, and that is a demon that often blocks people. Thank you, Michael, so much for being on the show.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to speak and to help you guys out.
Good. Thank you, Michael.
You've been a blessing.
If anyone else would like to call in, you can call in at 307-745-5936. I believe, is that correct, Richard?
5913.
5913. 307-745-5913. I'd like to read this scripture. It's in James. James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And, Pastor, I think just it's humility to say, "Lord, I need help being delivered from this issue in my life." And trusting him and trusting his word. You know, God resists the proud.
Yes, and if people sometimes think they're kind of ashamed that they might have evil spirits bothering them, with the reality is it'd be a rare person that doesn't have them. Because there's so many doors that we can open, not to mention the generational door, and fair as that is, due to the sins and iniquities of the forefathers and generational curses of witchcraft, etc., coming down the generational lines, that comes right through to us at birth. And demons can be working off of those curses. So it's not an unusual thing at all. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Certainly we here at Deliverance Ministries would expect people to have them. And the good news, again, being in Jesus' name, we can cast them out, and even many physical healings come as a result. So it's nothing to be ashamed about. 1 Peter 5:8 is very similar to what you just quoted. I don't have it here in front of me, but it basically says, "Our adversary, the devil, stalketh about like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are with the brethren." And so it's going on all around us. The brethren, the Christians around us, are tormented. But again, we've been given the tools and the weapons to deal with it. So our mission is to share it.
Well, in the two verses prior to that, 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you."
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thought, that he careth for us? And isn't it King David that has the Psalms that says he can't understand why God is evil mindful of us?
Yes.
You know, why does he even consider us?
And we use that passage a lot in our inner healing. You know, we do a number of things. It isn't just a matter of casting out evil spirits. That is certainly part of it. But to get the person fully overhauled, so many times they need what we call inner healing. It's where Jesus will come in and heal the wounds and the bad feelings of certain memories of the past. He'll supernaturally heal those. The reason we do that is because demons can ride in on those bad memories and those wounds. And it's a great area of ministry just by itself.
Well, I pulled out before the program.
Go ahead.
I pulled out before the program tonight this scripture, and it says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Jehovah, because they have called thee an outcast, saying, It is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." But it says, you know, "I will heal thee of thy wounds."
Amen.
And I pulled that out particularly because I was thinking of those inner wounds and those wounding in the spirit that happens, you know, as a youth or as a teenager or, you know, in a bad marriage or, you know, having parents that may not be as godly as you would like for them to be. But our spirits are wounded, and they create in us this maybe this attitude that we shouldn't have, that Satan can take advantage of. And until that's healed, like you just said, maybe you need, until that's healed, you may not be able to get your full deliverance.
That's right. It isn't, while physical wounds is an area, but also emotional, mental wounds, our Jesus is a complete healer. And through him and deliverance and inner healing, he will overhaul us to where we can get on with our lives. So it's exciting to get hold of that. That's why we're all on highs in the middle of this. Amen.
Well, you know, one of the like one of the wounds I think I've identified that I have to deal with is that around money. When I was a child, you know, we had a period of time when we were in extreme poverty. There was just a period of time where we were. You know, one instance, we had water gravy, which is just flour and water. That's what we had to eat. So what wound did that create that created a lifetime of story around money for me that I need to be delivered from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those would be wounds. Yeah. Yeah, that we even, for a lack of food in situations like that, we even run into fear of starvation. And that can even be generational, where people have had traumas like that, where they were so poor they didn't have anything, and somehow they survived, or left them with those wounds like that. Well, again, our Jesus is the healer.
Well, you know, along with that is I had have to do with I'm very cautious about being cold. It's like a fear of getting cold and a fear of being hungry. You know, it's something I've always planned ahead for and thought about. So that's just something I've been able to identify through going through your book and through the website.
And speaking of cold, just to show how many different types of spirits are out there, many years ago, it was actually the Episcopal Church, the priest asked me to come over to pray with one of the ladies in the choir. This was on a week night. And I went over there. I'd grown up with this priest. He and I were the same age and gone to school together, and he knew what I did. So I went over there that evening and over to church, his church, and sat down with the lady and got into ministry. And her demons, she actually had this alcohol problem that was the main situation, but I flushed up a demon in the process, since most people have several dozen. One of the demons I flushed up, it was speaking out of her mouth, gave the name of cold. And I thought, well, maybe this is a coldness toward people, but I kept interrogating the demon. I drew it out a little more, and how do you do your mission, I said to it. And this demon spoke out of her mouth and said, I am the spirit that keeps her cold all the time. And I thought, this is a physical cold spirit. So I start coming against this physical cold. That was a new one to me. In Jesus' name, commanding it to come out, spirit of cold, in Jesus' name, come out. And finally, it comes out. And she says to me then, the lady, she says, oh, I have this heat in my back. And first I thought it was, you know, the heat of the Holy Spirit upon her. But then I finally realized it was the absence of the cold. And you know how people, you'll hear this, people say I'm cold all the time.
Yeah.
And we run into that quite a bit. So we at that point put physical cold on our list of problem list that we likely demons that people, you know, go run through there and circle, give us a worksheet to work off of. But we run into it ever so often, and it's just another way the enemy torments and harasses Christians.
Yeah, I know that you believe in the structure of God or the order of God, which is God the Father, Jesus the husband, the wife, the children. And one of the things I've noticed over the years is that Satan likes to draw someone out of that covering, that covering of protection. Either the children through disobedience or the wife or even the husband out from under that covering, because he's a covering for his family when he's in order under the Lord. You have any experience in that, or any people that you've dealt with where you can see that they just Satan torments and attacks just to continually pull them out from that protection, which is the order of God?
Well, of course, that is the mission of the enemy, of the demons, is to do that very thing, is to break down their protection every way they can so they can have entry. We're all in that bracket of needing to stay in, under the protective blood. There's a scripture I love to quote a lot, and as you are well aware, and that's at Luke 10:19. I always suggest that people learn that and say it out loud a lot, and that's a scripture where, in essence, we have power over all the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. And what we've seen is, you know, how Christians, if they speak the word, it performs itself. It doesn't return void. It goes forth to accomplish that for which it is sent. So when you quote that and say that out loud, it is actually pounding the spirit world. I've had demons, when I'm quoting Luke 10:19, actually in manifestations with the person, take the person's hands up over their ears and not wanting to hear what I'm saying, and I'm quoting Luke 10:19. So if any of the listeners out there speaking to you, I would suggest you memorize that and say it a lot. It does tend to keep a lot of demons at bay just by quoting Luke 10:19. There's many scriptures to quote, and a lot of the word, to quote, but that's one in particular that we see a lot of.
Yeah, there's a scripture, and I can't find it right off the top of my head, but it's the scripture that says, many will persecute you and thinking they're serving Christ. And that's what I think comes against this type of ministry. I've had a lot of people tell me or tell that we were, or say that we were functioning of the devil, or we were doing the devil's work, which is the same thing they accused Christ of when he was casting out demons.
Yeah, exactly. They called him Beelzebub.
Yep. It's the enemy working through others, and they're unaware. So it's demons, I believe, on these other people that don't want a ministry like this to flourish. So they're putting lies and deceptions in their head. I even had one person write a letter and say that, well, you know, Satan always does things at dark or at night. That's why the ministry runs so late, because Satan's doing stuff. Because, you know, I mentioned to him that the ministry sometimes runs until 11 o'clock or later at night when you're delivering people. It's that kind of silliness that Satan's causing these people to jump on.
Well, we do them all hours. The problem is people work and they don't. They have to get off work before they can come for ministry.
So if you don't deliver them before dark, you're in sin.
Oh, gosh.
Well, it's just amazing the thing that Satan does throw at us, trying to cause people to stumble. But basically, it's such a simple thing. It's Jesus.
You know, I don't blame people for being concerned. I mean, we all have to admit, initially, this subject sounds really far out, and it did to me. And if somebody had come off of the street talking about demons, I'm convinced I'd have just blown them away as a weirdo, you know. But I praise God, and the Lord must have coordinated this, because an old friend of mine, a pathologist friend, 38 years ago now, shared it about this subject and this type of ministry. His church was doing it, And I knew he wasn't a nut, and so I immediately had to take in consideration if my friend, pathologist friend, even if he thought there was something to this, maybe there was. I knew he was a strong Christian, and that's how I got introduced to it. But it initially sounds far out in this space age, but the good news is there's people with problems everywhere that are demonically based. And the good news being, in Jesus' name, we can cast those things out. And they don't have to have them their whole life. I tell you, the Jesus way is an easy way. Some people go to psychiatrists for their problems and other doctors to get on medications and all, when it's actually demonic that'll only be dealt with the power in Jesus' name. But we often get people free, probably the majority of people, in one evening. They get their life turned around, just like Michael shared earlier with his testimony. He achieved his victory in one evening. Imagine that, seeing their life turned around in a matter of a few hours. I mean, that's pretty awesome, I think.
It is. Now, are you cheaper than a psychiatrist?
Say again?
Are you cheaper than a psychiatrist?
No.
But I say that to point out that they don't charge people to come into the ministry. They don't charge people to go to the website. They are cheaper than a psychiatrist. It's
oh,
free.
Yes.
It's one of the
right.
free gifts of God.
I tell you, I didn't quite hear what you said there.
Okay.
The only way we can lower our price is to pay people to come, because we don't charge anything. And if they can help us with donations, wonderful. But we have many people that come and give ministry, and they're not able to give anything. That's okay, because others are able to give quite a bit. And so that's how we keep surviving.
And with that said, I'd like to encourage those of you listening, this is a true ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can spare, $5, $10, $20 a month, go to the website. There's a system on there where you can set up and pay with PayPal. It's a ministry that is really serving and doing the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing that Jesus said before he received up into heaven, and before he sat down at the right hand of God, in Mark 16:15, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And this is a ministry that is doing the good works of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. And it's so true. And there's another scripture that goes right along with that, and that's John 14:12, where Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also." In fact, he went on to say, "And even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." It's an amazing thing to find out that in these situations, our type of ministry, and that is deliverance and physical healing so much of the time, it's not a matter of prayer, it's a matter of commanding. We've been commanded to do this in His name. And that's what we find works. We can speak directly to the problem, to the situation, in Jesus' name, with the authority, with all power. As a result, we see all kinds of miracles happen, physical healings as well. And the lady I ministered to Monday night, we do one of the things we do in the process of the evening is at the end of the deliverance is also do the limb check. You know how people have to go to chiropractors much of the time and get an adjustment. Well, what we've seen is that many times people are out of adjustment and they don't even know it. Or if they do know it, we find that we can pray a certain way just by commanding adjustment in Jesus' name, and it'll happen right in front of our eyes within seconds. And that's what happened with this lady. Her left leg, holding her shoes up where I could see the heels, and I had, at that point, two ladies that were friends of hers that had come with her, had come over, and I called them over to see the short leg, and it's just a simple prayer in Jesus' name, adjust, pain, go. And it came right out. And then I had her stand up and checked her arms, had her bring her arms in front of her with her fingers straight. And we found that one arm was shorter. It was only about a half inch. But I had her bend at the elbow so she could see it. And then to straighten her arms back out. And with the two ladies watching that short arm, same prayer, I just put my hand under her hands. In Jesus' name, adjust, pain, go. And it came right out. And pain is, and we see people healed of backs and necks problems constantly. I've literally seen thousands of them because the church I started going to 38 years ago was doing that type of ministry, and I had the blessing of seeing it all these years. And, of course, we teach our teams to do it as well. This is, again, normal Christianity.
Well, I think it was Jack about 3 weeks ago that said most people, most churches, when they pray, they fall short of one thing, and that is the command, go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and command healing, physical healing. We don't have to go through the Father in Jesus' name. While we can do that and we can pray, we've been given the power to speak in the name of Jesus ourselves and speak directly to it. And we watch it happen. It's an amazing thing to get hold of.
Now, before the program ends, I wanted to revisit what we were talking about when Michael called in, the praying for someone at a distance. You want to just briefly run through the steps of praying for someone at a distance?
Yes. Anybody that has one of my books, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, if you'll go to page 52, there is a checklist there that can be used. And the whole idea of this is when you have a loved one, a friend, or someone that you're pretty sure they're bothered by evil spirits, this is something you can do at distance. They could be in Hong Kong. It wouldn't matter. And so the checklist is basically, first off, of course, lifting them up before the Lord, but also then taking authority over any satanic assignments that have been put upon them. Keep in mind, as we've learned, about half of the 36 demons that are usually there with the Christian, that they are there by satanic assignment coming directly out of Satan's throne room. So those are easy to break since we have all power. So that's the first thing to do, and you may, if you know that person well, is cancel all satanic assignments of evil spirits in that person. If you know they have a fear problem or depression problem, you'll tend to know a tree by its fruits. So whatever their problem is, try to name it as a possible demon. And then, in fact, we often suggest, in my book, you'll find a list of problem names that often turn out to be the names of demons. You can go through that list with that person in mind and mark those down on a paper, because those are just, the more you can be specific in naming the spirits, the better it is. So at that point then, after you have got the list, then you can take authority over those spirits and bind them up, declare them deaf and mute, gag them in essence, where they cannot talk to the person any longer. And also, at that point, you can declare a spiritual box, in the spirit world, and then command those demons to go into the spiritual box. Okay, the reason we're not actually casting them all the way out of the person at this point is because they have doors. They need to go through the door closing prayer. They've got doors that are probably open. They're probably carrying unforgiveness toward others or even themselves, which major legal right for the demons to be there. So at this point, you just put the demons in a spiritual box, deaf and mute or gagged, where they cannot talk and influence the person in Jesus' name. And then I like to just ask the Lord to come and just put his arms around that person to hold them and to comfort them that as his child, and to talk to them now with his truth about what's going on in his life and pointing out certain lies that this person may have bought into about his life. And so as Jesus brings his truth, we're believing that those lies then can be realized, that they're lies, and now be pushed away. And then just at that point then, just speak God's blessings over them. And what you're believing for is that this person, if you do this like on a daily basis for a while, this person will finally, because you bound up the demon and gagged them, ask Jesus to talk to them with his truth about their lives. Now you're hoping that he will finally say, I think I have some problems here. I think I might need some help. And of course you'd like to hear him say, I think I need deliverance. You know, well then they could be scheduled and go through the full steps and get overhauled like Michael was earlier.
I think this is particularly powerful if it's someone that has greatly hurt you or offended you, for you to forgive them and then say this prayer and then pray a prayer of blessing over them.
Yes. Well, and of course, not forgiving is a major area. There could be a spirit of unforgiveness there, but since you're not actually talking to them, but that's something the Lord might reveal to them when he comes and talks to them, that he does need to forgive various people. But that's one of the doors that we, of course, really work with people on a lot. That's the slipperiest door. We all know what the flesh wants to do when people do us wrong. Well, who hadn't had that happen?
Well, Preacher, thank you for your time. We're about up. It's deliveranceusa.org. You can order his book from Scriptures for America or from the website. We just want to get it in your hands. Thank you for joining us. We hope you're back again with us next week as we learn about setting God's people free from the bondages of Satan. Be blessed, Preacher.
God bless.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. Strong.